do some jamming.
Shine it up.
生的马蹄，查莫扎哈斯。Krishna Chaitanya Toya Karumore Toma Bena Keda Paramahansa, Parabhacharya, also Tada Satashi Shimad, His Divine Grace Abaya, Chadanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Harinas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadadha Si Vasari Gaur Vakta Vrindagajaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopanath Saim Kun Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavan Kijai Maturam Kijai Jagadatha Sami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shimadi Dalasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Vakta Vrindagajaya Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamani, Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharani, Nivashesha, Shunyavadi Paschachate, Chitarni. So, let me read the translation. My dear Lord, please be merciful to me, because who can be more merciful than your Lordship within these three worlds? Your incarnation is just to reclaim the conditioned fallen souls, but I assure you that you will not find a more fallen soul than me, therefore my claim is first. My dear Lord Nityananda, you are always joyful in spiritual bliss. Since you always appear very happy, I have come to you because I am most unhappy. If you kindly put your glance over me, I may also become happy. My dear Advaita Prabhu, husband of Sita, you are so kind. Please be kind to me. If you are kind to me, naturally Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda will also be kind to me. I pray for the mercy of Swarup Damodara, the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Bhatta Raghunath Das Raghunath Goswami, Shri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Shri Jiva Goswami, and Shri Raghunath Das Goswami, and Lokanath Prabhu. I, Narottamadas, pray to the merciful Srinivasacharya, and I always desire the company of Ramachandra. Ramachandra, of course, is Narottamadas Thakur's friend, who was a disciple of Srinivasacharya. So, Let us go. So now we're going to go ahead to the nectar of instruction. How about that? Okay, so before we do that, we chant this verse to the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Nana Shastra Vichara Nikanipano Sadharma Samstapako Lokanam Hitakarino Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanya Karo Radha Krishna Padara Vinda Vashana Nante Namataliko Vande Rupa Sanatano Raguyako Sri Jiva Gopala Ko. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatt Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures, with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis that are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Okay, so Om Ganah Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuva Unmiditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, we're going to continue with our study of the nectar of instruction, the Upa De Shamrita by Srila Rupa Goswami. So yesterday we left off in the middle of the fourth verse, which is a very positive verse, as is the third verse. The fourth verse is about loving exchanges between Vaishnavas, and I'm just going to chant that verse right now, if that is all right with all of you. And then we'll go to the middle of the commentary. So, tadati pratigrinati guhyam atyati prichati munte bhojate chaiva sadvidam pritilakshanam. And this verse states that devotees engage in loving exchanges by offering gifts to each other and accepting gifts, revealing the mind and confidence, and inquiring confidentially about some subject matter. Of course, Krishna consciousness, not mundane. Eating or accepting prasadam and offering prasadam. And of course, these are symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. And Prabhupada said our movement increases, attracts people, keeps people in the movement because of these symptoms of love. Okay, and this love, of course, means not this selfish love that we experience in this world, where we're trying to get some sensory satisfaction or some mental satisfaction from someone, but we actually want to give to them. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Try to remember that. Okay, now we're going to share the screen so we can start in the middle of this purport of verse 4. Okay, let's see, I just want to make sure, hold on a second. Okay, here we go. Where is that? I have so many open windows. Oh, here it is. Okay. Here we go. Let me just put the chat window there in case something happens and someone wants to say something in the middle of my reading. Have to be alert. Okay, so we ended it where it says, it said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majalila 22.107, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sajakabu Nai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Kadayudai. This is really important verse, and I'll explain why it's really important. Pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the hearts of the living entities, not something to be gained from another source. When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, that love naturally awakens. So what does that mean? That means we have pure love for Krishna. That may come as a shock to you, comes as a shock to me. But what happened? You know, why am I manifesting something else other than pure love for Krishna? Why do I have so many desires? Why do I want liberation? Why do I want mystic powers or whatever? If this is true, then it's covered. It is something like, and Srila Prabhupada gave the example, one who has amnesia. The relationship is there with his family members, with his friends and everything like that. And even it's there in the memory, it's just he's forgotten it. And how do you waken it up? You wake it up, how? By reminding the person, by the hearing process, right? Even in the material world. This is your mother. This is your father. This is your wife. These are your children. This is your house. Try to remember. So the same thing happens on the spiritual platform. This is Krishna. He is all attractive. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're supposed to serve him and love him and practice it. You know, so you practice it and finally you say, wow, I remember. I mean, I remember from my own practical experience, and I'm not claiming that I'm any great soul or anything like that, that when I first stepped in to a Hare Krishna temple, this was where Boston, Massachusetts, I believe, yeah, Boston, Massachusetts, the devotees were worshiping Tulsi Devi, and they were running around Tulsi Devi tree, a bush, and bowing down to Tulsi Devi. And with my intellect, I was thinking, this is unusual. I'm not going to use the W word. This is unusual. Wow. What is happening here? Does this make sense? But in my heart, I was remembering, hey, I was doing this before. So I was remembering what I was doing before, you know, perhaps in past lives, but at least in my heart. And that's Krishna consciousness. That's why when we present Krishna consciousness to people, we have to get them to do something that purifies the heart. Otherwise, it will not be beneficial. If you simply yell and scream, like sometimes the Christian ministers yell and scream and tell people what they're going to hell, unless they accept the Lord Jesus in their hearts. Or if we say, you're going to hell unless you accept Krishna, then that's not going to really give people the realization that they need in order to be Krishna conscious. So the realization comes from remembering. The remembrance comes from purification of the heart. The purification of the heart comes from the hearing, the doing some service, the chanting. And this is what it says, when the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, that love naturally awakens. And then that's all we have to do. I remember when I was going out to university campuses on a regular basis, I simply asked people to chant. I actually distributed japa beads. And I asked people to chant, all right, just chant one round of what? Hare Krishna mantra, obviously, every day. Come back tomorrow. Tell me how you feel. And they would come back and they'd say, wow, I feel different. Wow, I'm getting detached from this world. I don't want to be detached from this world. Anyway, that's another thing. So, and they would naturally become vegetarians. They would be attracted to the pictures of Krishna. They'd want to hear the philosophy. Like Prabhupada said, what is the use of your lecture unless they engage in Krishna consciousness? So that's the point. Since Krishna consciousness is inherent, here's that word, inherent. That means it's there. In every living entity, everyone should be given a chance to hear about Krishna. Simply by hearing and chanting first two practices of the Navabhakti practice, Shravanam, Kirtanam, that's from Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23, Prahlad Maharaja's statement. One's heart is directly purified, and one's original Krishna consciousness is immediately awakened. Krishna consciousness is not artificially imposed upon the heart, it is already there. This is really an important paragraph. When one chants the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the heart is cleansed of all material contamination. In the first stanza of his Sri Shikshashtika, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Cheto darpanam arjanam baba mahadvagni nirvapanam shreyakadavya chandakavitaranam vijabadu jivanam anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam purnamritasvadanam sarvatmasnapanam param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. That's the CC Anshalila 2012. All glories to Sri Krishna Sankirtana, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life, a repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So proof that just chanting the Hare Krishna mantra works, even without philosophy, is the story of Haridas, Thakura, and the prostitute. There was no philosophy there. The prostitute had some nefarious plans, desires, ulterior motives, and she just heard the holy names and offered obeisances to Tulsi Devi and to Hardness Thakur. So just by hearing the holy names, she had the realization after 3 days that she was wrong. And she had the realization that she should be attached to Krishna and detached from the material world. And that's really what happened. She gave up everything, even shaved her hair off, and sat next to the Tulsi tree and chanted Hare Krishna for the rest of her life. Amazing. And it's only from the Mahamantra. There was no Bhagavad Gita class. There was no social pressure. Nothing. I mean, I'm sure Haridas Thakur later on gave her some specific instructions. Yes, just sit by the Tulsi tree and chant. Now, I'm sure she heard some Krishna Katha later on or before. But still, it was the chanting that woke up, that dissolved her material desires, dissolved her connection with the modes of nature, and situated her as a great saintly personality. Not only is the chanter of the Maha Mantra purified, but the heart of anyone who happens to hear the transcendental vibration of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare is also cleansed. Even the souls and body of lower animals, insects, trees, and other species of life also become purified and prepared to become fully Krishna conscious simply by hearing the transcendental vibration. This was explained by Thakur Haridas when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from him how living entities lower than human beings can be delivered from material bondage. Haridas Thakur said that the chanting of the holy names is so powerful that even if one chants in the remotest parts of the jungle, the trees and animals will advance in Krishna consciousness simply by hearing the vibration. This was actually proved by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself when he passed through the forest of Jatakanda At that time, the tigers, snakes, deer, and all the other animals abandoned their natural animosity and began chanting and dancing in Sankirtana. Of course, we cannot imitate the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but we should follow in his footsteps. We are not powerful enough to enchant the lower animals, such as tigers, snakes, cats, and dogs, or entice them to dance. By chanting the holy names of the Lord, we can actually convert many people throughout the world to Krishna consciousness. Contributing or distributing the holy name of the Lord is a sublime example of contributing or giving charity, the Dadati principle. By the same token, one must also follow the Pratigranati principle and be willing and ready to receive the transcendental gift. One should inquire about the Krishna consciousness movement and open his mind in order to understand the situation of this material world. Thus, Guyam Akhyati Prichati principles can be served. So, Pratigranati means you accept the mercy of the devotees, and Dadati means you give the holy names to others. And actually, there's an interesting point I made in class today, this morning, was that Haridas Thakur says, even the inanimate entities like trees and creepers and everything like that chant. Not only do they hear, but they chant, and that's called an echo. Of course, you may not hear that echo, but subtly, matter, even dull matter that doesn't have a soul in it, vibrates when it's called sympathetic vibration. Well, sympathetic. It's not that matter is sympathetic to anybody, but sympathetic means it picks up vibration and actually can resonate according to that particular vibration. For example, if you put a microphone in the back of a piece of glass and you're outside, or the microphone's outside, and you're inside the house, the microphone will pick up the vibrations that the glass is picking up from inside the house, if you're speaking, and you can amplify it. It's a really interesting principle. So there's some bouncing off of sound vibration or sympathetic vibration when inanimate entities, here we're talking about living entities, are exposed to transcendental sound vibration, or even mundane sound vibration. And even plants can hear. I mean, there's been so many studies with plants, and we're not talking just Hare Krishna studies, when plants are actually exposed, to different types of music, it affects their health, their growth patterns. So plants actually hear. I mean, they don't have ears, that's true, but they hear because the vibration affects their bodies, the plant bodies or the tree bodies or any inanimate living entity. The members of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness invite the society's members and supporters to dine with them when they hold love feasts in all their branches every Sunday. That's interesting, love feasts. That particular nomenclature, love feasts, has gone out of fashion. Prabhupada started love feasts because he was first preaching to hippies, and it was part of his marketing strategy. Now, obviously, now when we're not preaching hippies, or maybe we are, but anyway, you adjust your particular strategies according to your audience. Like if you're preaching to government officials, you won't say, please come to our love feast. You'll say, please come to either our open house on Sunday, or please be our invited guest for our Sunday program and services. You know, there's different ways to express the same thing. So many devotees, they're just attached to specific nomenclature that Prabhupada was using as an advertising tool, you know, to attract people. But we have to really understand how society has changed. I mean, most of the time nowadays, if you say, come to our Sunday love feast, people may think, you know, something weird is going on. So, many interested people come to honor Prasad, and whenever possible, they invite members of the society to their homes And feed them sumptuously with prasadam. We experience this. In this way, both the members of the society and the general public are benefited. People should give up the company of so-called yogis, jnanis, karmis, and philanthropists because their association can benefit no one. If one really wants to attain the goal of human life, he should associate with devotees of the Krishna Conscious Movement because it is the only movement that teaches one how to develop love of God. Religion is the special function of human society, and it constitutes the distinction between human society and animal society. Yes. If you are not religious, or at least inquiring as to the purpose of life, then your life is no better than an animal, as we know. You're just simply eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Animal society has no church, mosque, or religious system. Be funny to see like a bunch of cats sitting in a church or mosque or Hare Krishna temple. In all parts of the world, however downtrodden human society may be, there is some system of religion. Even tribal aborigines in the jungle also have a system of religion. They worship something greater than themselves. It's a step in the right direction. When a religious system develops and turns into love of God, it is successful. As stated in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 1:2:6, Savaipum Sam Paradharmo, Yato Bhaktirad Hoksaje Ahai Tukhi Yat Pratiyata Hiatma Supersedity. The supreme occupation dharma for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. Because the self is ultimately part and parcel of Krishna, and the self is ultimately a pure devotee. As we mentioned before, it's inherent. So otherwise, you're not satisfying the self. You're satisfying, as Prabhupada gave the example, the cage and not the bird inside the cage. We are in the cage of this body, and we are simply decorating, taking care of, taking the cage to the doctor, which is all right. I mean, you got to take the cage to the doctor sometimes. Polishing the cage and hoping that our cage is attractive to other entities in other cages. It's kind of stupid. If the members of human society actually want peace of mind, tranquility, and friendly relations between men and between nations, they must follow the Krishna consciousness and religion by which they can develop their dharma love for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As soon as people do so, their minds will immediately be filled with peace and tranquility. In this regard, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur warns all devotees engaged in broadcasting the Krishna Conscious Movement not to speak to the impersonalists or Mayavadis who are always determined to oppose such theistic movements. The world is full of Mayavadis and atheists, and the political parties of the world take advantage of the Mayavada and other atheistic philosophies to promote materialism. Very interesting statement. And you actually find this in politics in America. That's why it's really hard to decide, or probably impossible to decide, which party, political party, you want to support. One party, okay, you have two parties in America. So one party is just like throws out any sort of absolute rules and regulations, you know, they don't throw them at personally, they have their own ethical principles, but you know, basically they don't philosophically adhere to any sort of, let's say, higher principles that have been given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Philosophically, they may practically follow some, like be kind. So the other party has just a bunch of rules and regulations which they think, they pick the rules and regulations they think God gave, and they ignore the ones that God actually gave. So it's kind of hard to be involved in politics in America. You know, anyway. I mean, forget, all right, let's say, give a practical example. Let's say the Republicans, and the Republicans are generally against abortion, which we are too. But they're in favor of so many other things that we wouldn't be in favor of. So it's not, you know, it's hard to be involved in politics in America. Sometimes they even back a strong party to oppose the Christian Conscious Movement. That happens. The Mayavadis and other atheists do not want the Christian Conscious Movement to develop because it educates people in God consciousness. Such is the policy of the atheists. There's no benefit in feeding, you know, especially these atheists who argue against the existence of God, or they argue about the universe happened and everything is happening by the laws of probability, laws of chance, or quantum mechanics, or something like that. There's no benefit in feeding a snake milk and bananas because the snake will never be satisfied. On the contrary, by taking milk and bananas, the snake simply becomes more poisonous. Kevalam visha vardhanam. In other words, the poison increases. If a snake is given milk to drink, its poison simply increases, which is what I just said. For a similar reason, we should not disclose our minds to the serpent Mayavadis and Karmis. Such disclosures will never help. It is best to completely avoid associating with them and never ask them about anything confidential because they cannot give good advice. Nor should we extend invitations to Mayavadis and atheists or accept their invitations, for by such intimate intermingling, we may become affected by their atheistic mentality, Sangha Sanjayate Kama. That means by the Sangha, by the association, lust may develop. It is the negative injunction of this verse that we should refrain, so there's some negative aspect of the verse, from giving anything to or accepting anything from the Mayavadis and atheists. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also warned, Vishayira anakoile dushtahaya mana. That's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila 12:50. When one eats food prepared by worldly people, one's mind becomes wicked. Yeah. Prabhupada explained, of course, let's go to the Mahabharata right now, that you had some really good people on the wrong side in the Mahabharata war. One good person was Grandfather Bhishma. Another good person was Dronacharya. Another good person was Kripacharya. Prabhupada explained the reason that their sense of judgment was skewed and they actually fought on the wrong side justifying it for a variety of reasons they justified it because they had been eating food that was contaminated, not contaminated in the sense that they got physically sick, but contaminated in the sense that it had the modes of nature which drag them down to the mode of ignorance and the mode of, mixed with passion, of course. Just ignorance would have been no problem because they would have slept, which is, means someone is harmless. So sometimes the mode of ignorance basically may seem a little bit like the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness, one's peaceful. The mode of pure ignorance, one is extremely peaceful. So Prabhupada said they ate food cooked in Duryodhana's kitchen, and therefore they were able to fight, to justify their activities by fighting on the wrong side of the battle of Kurukshetra. And in the Mahabharata, it actually says that they were taken over by demoniac elements. Because if you eat food that is actually contaminated, you can be, I don't want to use the word possessed, I mean, you know, that may be too scary for all of you, but you can be controlled by the lower energies or even lower people. That's really interesting. Really, really interesting. So when Krishna, you all know that story, when Krishna actually came to try to make peace between the Kauravas and Pandavas, he was offered food by Duryodhana, and Duryodhana said, please come and take food. And Krishna said, no way, Jose. I'm going to eat with Vidura. And Vidura had very simple food. He was, of course, he could have prepared more opulent food, but his wife was cooking. He didn't go to the normal kitchen in the palace, because in the normal kitchen in the palace there were all sorts of abominable things and abominable consciousness on the part of the cooks. So he said he just had porridge, I guess like oatmeal or something like that. I'm sure it was a little more fancy than that. And so Krishna came and was very happy eating porridge. So Krishna's giving us the example, don't eat food by someone who cooked, prepared by someone who is of bad consciousness, because your consciousness will drop like a lead balloon. Unless one is very advanced, he's unable to utilize everyone's contribution to further the Krishna conscious movement. Therefore, on principle, one should not accept charity from the Mayavadis or atheists. Indeed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has forbidden devotees to associate even with ordinary men who are too addicted to material sense gratification. So we have to be really careful. It didn't say khichdi, it says porridge. Actually, that's what it says in the books. It says porridge. The conclusion is that one should, that we should always keep company with devotees, observe the regulative devotional principles, follow in the footsteps of the acharyas, and in full obedience carry out the orders of the spiritual master. In this way, we shall be able to develop our devotional service and dormant Krishna consciousness. Oops. The devotee who is neither a neophyte, that means newbie, nor a Mahabhagavat, a greatly advanced devotee, pure devotee, but is within the middle status of devotional service, expected to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, make friends with the devotees, show favor to the ignorant, and reject the jealous and demoniac. So, you know, you have these three stages of devotional service. And actually, yeah, expected to love. So these four things, loving Krishna, making friends with the devotees, show mercy to the ignorant, and don't associate with jealous and demoniac people. Don't hate them either. It doesn't say you're supposed to hate them, you're just not supposed to associate with them. That's all. So that's the Majjhima Adhikari. The Uttama Adhikari, he can associate or do anything he wants. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was able to preach to the Mayavadis, Varanasi, headed by Prakashananda Saraswati, as we heard in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But we should not try that. In this verse, there's a brief mention of the process of making loving transactions with the Supreme Personality of God and making friends with the devotees. According to the Dadati principle, an advanced devotee is supposed to spend at least 50% of his income on the service of the Lord and his devotees. Now, so that's a real question that some people have. You know, they say, well, how can I spend 50% of my income? Should it be 50% of my income after expenses, or 50% of the income before expenses? You know, what should it be? Well, the point is, if you're married and have family, raise your family in Krishna consciousness, and that expenditure is actually the service of the Lord and his devotees. I mean, your children are his devotees, your wife is his devotee, I hope. So that's actually expenditure. So you look at it that way. Otherwise, you know, many people wouldn't have enough money to pay the mortgages on their house. Srila Rupa Goswami has set such an example in his life. When he decided to retire, he distributed 50% of his life's earnings to Krishna's service, 25% to his relatives, and kept 25% for personal emergencies. This example should be followed by all devotees. Whatever one's income, 50% should be spent on behalf of Krishna and his devotees, and this will fulfill the demands of the dati. So this is really important, that you remember that your family is devotees. That's interesting. And it's different injunctions for people who are retiring like that. But basically, what Prabhupada is saying here, 50% of his life is earned to Krishna's service, 25% to his relatives. It's not that you have to take 25% of your money and distribute it to your relatives right now. But you should keep some money for personal emergencies. That's practical. I mean, people should keep some money. And basically, one should avoid debt. Chanika Pandit says, you know, people nowadays, of course, they go into extreme debt on their credit cards, or when they're buying cars, or when they're shopping, Christmas shopping, and they run up the credit cards so much. And generally, I speak to people and they have so much, tens of thousands of dollars, it's called revolving credit on the credit cards, and sometimes the credit card interest is like 12, 15, or even up to 18%, or even more. So one should keep some money and not go into debt. Chanika Pandit, okay, I was getting to what Chanika Pandit says. Chanika Pandit says, debt, disease, and fire, three things, debt, disease, and fire, should be taken care of right away. Because they don't get better. Fire doesn't get better, generally, unless you get a rainstorm. Disease usually doesn't get better, unless you have a really strong immune system. But still, you know, you take care of it, you rest up, you do something about it. You don't just push yourself through. And debt certainly doesn't get better with time. Debt should be taken care of because it grows exponentially at interest rate. This example should be followed by all devotees. And so Prabhupada said. So, in the next verse, Srila Rupa Goswami informs us what kind of Vaishnava should be selected as a friend and how Vaishnavas should be served. Wow, this is really important. That's text 5, which we will do tomorrow by Krishna's grace, if Krishna allows us. So today we did text 4, part 2. Okay. And tomorrow, text 5. Okay, and so it's time to unmute you all and allow you to ask questions. Hold on a second. All right. You can unmute yourselves or ask questions. You can ask questions in the chat window, as again, I always say every night, or you can ask questions by raising your hand, or you can ask questions by unmuting yourself if you are so bold. Okay, who has a question? This is your opportunity. What if someone is reading the books but not chanting? That's something, yeah. That is hearing. So hearing begins, is the first process of devotional service. It's called Shravanam, and then Kirtanam, and then Vishnu Smaranam. So, but ultimately, unless they start chanting, they're not going to make that much spiritual advancement. It will introduce them, it will give them some purification. They're hearing the chanting on the subtle platform by reading. And so, that's good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's an introduction. But ultimately, as we know from the Brihad Naradi Purana, Harinam, Harinam, Harinam Eva, Kevalam, Kalo Nishteva, 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 Gatayer Anyata. Chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names. In this age of Kali, ain't no other way, ain't no other way, ain't no other way. So, I mean, if they're reading the books and they're reading where it says in the books you have to chant, and they don't chant, I mean, how are they actually imbibing the message in the books? Okay, good question. Alrighty, so we got Aruna, so unmute yourself. Okay, good. Question?
Yes, Gurudev. Hare Krishna, Gurudev. Dandavat Pranam. Gurudev, you are explaining that because Bhishma Dev and Drona, Krupacharya, they were getting food from the kitchen of Duryodhana.
Yeah.
They couldn't think properly and they fought on the wrong side.
Right.
So on that context, I'm just trying to understand this. Even Kunti Maharani is getting the food from Duryodhana's kitchen, right?
How do you know?
Right. So, but she's still purely Krishna conscious and a very pure devotee of Krishna.
Yeah, but who said that she's getting food from Duryodhana's kitchen? She may have had her own cook. I mean, I don't. I mean, she was a queen.
Right.
So certainly she had a right to have her own assistants, cooks, maidservants, and everybody like that.
Oh, she would have cooked separately.
Yeah. She would have her own facility. I mean, she didn't cook herself. I mean, she might have cooked herself, but she would have her own facility because she was a queen.
Right.
Whereas Drona and Kripa, like that, and Grandfather Bhishma, I mean, they could have had their own kitchen, but they didn't. They were eating with the rest of the Kauravas.
Right. Wrong association.
Wrong association. But I assume that Kunti just didn't sit down with Duryodhana and company and eat prasadam, or not prasadam, eat bhoga with them.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense for her. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure she wouldn't eat the garbage that was cooked in Duryodhana's kitchen. I'm sure Duryodhana probably hired the lowest of the low to cook for him. I mean, I'm sure he wasn't a vegetarian.
Right, that's another thing, yeah.
And I'm sure he wasn't offering everything to Krishna on the altar.
Yeah, thank you, Gurudev. Yeah, thank you so much. Hare
okay,
Krishna.
Here's your question. Okay, I believe Rishikesh had a question. I don't see him.
Yeah, Gurudev. Hare Krishna, Gurudev. Gurudev, I just had a question about, you know, bhakti really happens when there is an exchange of love, you know.
Yes.
Between Krishna and myself. I mean, the initial stage, of course, you know, because I'm not qualified and not properly purified, I do not have that privilege to have that exchange of love between Krishna and myself. So how do I sustain that enthusiasm or sustain this bhakti? It's very hard, just one way, you know.
Well, keep good association. Like, we're talking about eating food cooked by devotees with the right consciousness. Keep good association. Regularly hear with attention. Jet your rounds with attention. Read Prabhupada's books. I know when I read Prabhupada's books, it gives me enthusiasm because there's the bhakti shakti in there. So that your nature is to be enthusiastic, but right now it's covered up. And it's covered up either by bad association or improper chanting or no chanting. You know, when we take bad association, and a bad association can also mean with our mind. You know, our mind, our desires. This is also really bad association. So we have to take association from Mahatseva Mahuri Muktes. So, you know, enthusiasm comes from associating with those people, those souls who are enthusiastic. That's where enthusiasm comes from. Yes, it's hard. I mean, one has to keep pulling the mind back from wherever it wanders. And, you know, just tolerating, as we read in the previous verse, first verse, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udara Pashta Vegam. Tolerating what? The pushings of the tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and words. You gotta tolerate these things. These things are gonna push you all the time. Whew. Okay. Thank you, Rishikesh. And I think we have a question from Mr. Gopal.
Please accept my obeisance, Shri Gurudev.
So
we were looking at Kripacharya and Dronacharya, and there's so many instances, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then also Prabhupada speaks about even fighters in the army. If they're Brahmins, they cook for themselves. And there's
Prabhupada says
that a Brahmin's regulative principle is not to allow others to cook for him, but to cook for himself. And yet we see sometimes that there's certain Brahmins that go from sacrifice to sacrifice and take the remnants of the sacrifice, and that's their regulative principle. And then right. I see Brahmins who only cook for themselves. So what's the, can you help me figure out the difference?
And the main thing is to make sure that what you're eating has been cooked by someone with pure motives and intention and consciousness, whether it's by yourself, if you have pure motives and consciousness. I mean, sometimes you eat food cooked by yourself, it's probably going to be the worst association. That's actually funny. I never expressed it like that before, but it came out. Yes, sometimes your own cooking is the worst association. And sometimes you'll find better association by eating the remnants of food cooked in the temple, offered to the deity. So I'm very careful personally as to who cooks for me. I mean, generally, let's say I'm here in North Carolina, I generally do all the cooking for myself. You know, I mean, one day a week or something like that, I go to someone's house. But generally, I cook for myself. And I'm very careful who cooks. And if I'm not aware of someone's consciousness, I may just eat fruit, which Prabhupada did. I mean, sometimes I eat fruit just because it's not my normal time of eating. Like if I go to people's homes for some evening program, and I certainly don't want to eat at 8 or 9 o'clock at night. It's actually really bad for the health, especially at my age. I think at any age it's bad for your health. So, therefore, you know, I'll just eat fruit. And it's not casting dispersion on anybody's consciousness. It's just a question of taking care of my own health. So, you know, just be careful. I'm very careful. I never eat food cooked in restaurants or on the airplane. Whenever I take a flight, I bring prasadam with me if it's, you know, a longer flight, and I eat prasadam on the flight, and I have the devotees make prasadam or something simple like nuts or whatever, you know, and I eat on the flight, and sometimes I fast on the flight, you know, depending on how I feel. So it's important to regulate what goes into the body, because according to the Ayurvedas, when you eat, the food eventually becomes transformed to blood. And that blood circulates around the body, certainly in the brain, certainly in the heart, and it affects the consciousness, the modes of nature, you know. Modes of nature.
So what I'm hearing you say is that one should be very attentive.
Yes.
To what one's eating at all times.
Exactamente.
Thank you, Gurudev.
One should be very attentive. No, you don't have to follow any specific rule like only cooking for yourself or only eating in sacrifices or only eating on Sunday at 5 o'clock, you know, whatever. But very attentive who's cooking, and of course, for one's health, one has to be concerned with what is cooking, not only who's cooking. So it's not only health, I mean, it's not only consciousness, it's your physical health. I mean, I have a series of videos that are interviews with a doctor in Germany, Dr. Radha Raja, that are called Stop Killing the Devotees. So many times we have, like, food that's pure in terms of spirituality that will hurt your health. Long term, it'll create some lifestyle diseases or contribute to lifestyle disease. You can't say it'll cause lifestyle diseases. You know, you may get lifestyle diseases means things like diabetes, heart disease. Not in every case. I mean, certain things are hereditary, but that's a lifestyle disease that doesn't have to. You may have some genetic predisposition towards a particular disease. But it's not that the disease has to manifest if you are very careful. So very important. Anyway, control your tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and words. Vacha vegam, manasa karoda vegam. You all vegam, udara pashta vegam. Tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and words. With that in mind, now that we've actually upset everybody by controlling the eating process, which is the most difficult. Yeah, sometimes we have to eat cooking from aspiring devotees to encourage them. But you know, anyway, one has to be careful. The main point is one has to be careful. At least they have to be vegetarians, which means no eggs either. Really important. Prabhupada would not eat at anyone's house where they weren't vegetarians. He would take fruit, but he wouldn't eat in terms of cooked food. Okay, on that happy note, we should end, and hopefully we will see everybody tomorrow, same time, same station. All glories to His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki.